Hey, what's up, guys? It's Anthony Carson here, commonly known as AC across the industry. My DFS Twitter tag is DFS Karma AC. You can also follow our home account at DFS_Karma, and same goes for Instagram, as we are heavily on there as well. So with that being said, guys, let's get started here. Week 11 in the books, yet again, another successful week on DraftKings. The last couple weeks were the first couple weeks really all season that I kind of meddled in the middle, for better or worse, and I talked about it on our hashtag Good Karma podcast. We do a lengthy podcast. If you can, guys, download us on iTunes. I mean, our team does a really, really, really good job of going in-depth on each game in its entirety on Friday. So, you know, whether you're at the grocery store on Saturdays, just plug on the headphones. You know, whatever you're doing, you're in your bunker, you're studying, I highly advise listening to that podcast. Just download us. We are now on iTunes. And if you can, give us a thumbs up and a good star review. We really appreciate it. So let's get into the slate. I've had a lot of good feedback on kind of showing myself aligned up versus some other industry titans, so to speak, the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I guess I'll continue to do this for better or worse. I've had a really, really profitable season, and you all know that if you guys have been following us, if you're new, just reverse engineer who I am, who our company is, the amount of wins we've had this year. I think this is now no doubt my best season ever in my entirety on DraftKings and even on FanDuel for NFL, but DraftKings is a ridiculous. I'm 11-1 in cash games. I am a cash game player. I try to be a cash game expert. It's the same shit I talk about every week, guys. You know, stick to the blueprint, follow the process. Everything will pan out. You need to be a grinder in this industry, I think, to stay afloat in the long term. If you are a GPP player, this video might be not as beneficial to you, but I'll try and sprinkle in a couple things for you guys as well. And if you're new, I really appreciate it. If you can, give this a like and share it, and I'll continue to do this the more traction we get. So like I said, another great week. Very, very excited. I did talk about my opening line on the Good Karma podcast this week was, we're either going to murder in cash games or we're going to get murdered. I knew, unlike the last couple weeks, there was no middle ground. And it came exactly to fruition. I was kind of surprised, to be honest. And I, again, for the third week in a row, I made a change kind of late. Not as late in the slate, you know, the last couple weeks I kind of made a change, you know, late on a Sunday. Saturday I made a change to pivot to Kareem Hunt and ultimately down to the Browns, which didn't really hurt, you know, going to the Browns, and we'll come there later. But I had Melvin Gordon in the Chargers D in there. You're looking at, again, another, I did the math, $8,000 to $10,000, because this lineup is, of course, in some GPPs as well. I'm not an idiot, because this is my optimal lineup, and I stay true to my guns. I generally play one lineup, and I'll sprinkle in, like, you know, 4 or 5 GPPs, and I really, you know, people do message us all the time, and we do a great, great, great job, our whole team does, at teaching bankroll management. That's our niche, I think, in the industry, and, you know, I did say that this is a week that you might want to retract your bankroll a bit yet again in cash games. Again, if you're having a successful, profitable season, I think it's imperative to really look at, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, and the reason why you're entrenched in these cash games and why you play DFS is for, you know, profit, or if you're looking at this like an investment. And I think it's just important that if you are up a lot, and it doesn't matter the amount, just because I'm well up north at $80,000 in profit, it's all relative to your bankroll, right? So for me, I've been kind of retracting a bit these last few weeks. I mean, the season's slowly winding down. There's no reason for me to get pigeonholed into potentially losing a few weeks in a row, which can theoretically happen and really eat into my chunk of profit. So, you know, if you're up, say, $1,000, and that's a lot of money for you relative to the bankroll that you've been building, I would start slowly retracting in cash games just to touch these last few weeks here. I mean, there's only a few main slates left, and just kind of have some fun with the rest of the season and enjoy the holidays. I tell people all the time, cash out if you're up, like, enjoy the money. Just don't let it sit in there and rot, because at the end of the day, you'll end up trialing, you know, NBA, NHL, and you don't want to lose the money, right? So I feel like the NBA is a great way to make money. So let's get into this. Week 11. Yes, last week I had A.E. Jones, an industry titan. And I believe if most 90% of you know, if you are in the cash games, Adam Levitan is pretty damn good himself. The guy spits out a lot of great content. He's a good follow as well. So I suggest, you know, really looking into him. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still playing for money. This still, it's, even though it is a game, this is to me somewhat of a side job, so to speak. I own a nice medical company as well, but this is another way for me to make monetary income, and I think that that's why I'm a grinder. And you can't be afraid, right? That's where I'm going with this. Do not be afraid to play your idols, the people you respect, the people you look into. It's the same with me. You know, if you guys want to play me heads up, you know, I have hundreds. I think I had over 500 heads up in the lobby this week. I usually try to put them in there on Wednesdays. And like I said, you know, feel free to beat me. I don't care. I mean, that's the fun of the game. You know, it's the strategy of this all. But I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to take everybody's money that I'm playing. And I put out these videos for, you know, good content to help, you know, increase your knowledge in the industry, because I do think that this is just like any sports organization, that there is a process. It's kind of like the Sixers, you know, you just got to trust the process. Your career will expand for the better over time. And it depends. I mean, you could be still an industry titan, and I think it's still good to look into these things and, you know, reverse engineer things I did or others did for better or worse when you have your really good weeks or your really bad weeks. The last couple of weeks, I didn't have really bad weeks. I was just kind of stuck in the middle a little bit. And when you do explode into the 90th percentile, like I kind of did this week, you know, you do win essentially almost every heads up. You win in all your double ups. I mean, that's just kind of how I build my bankroll. I generally like to put in 75% of my bankroll into my optimal lineup / cash games. So that's what I do every week, guys. I'm not a huge GPP player. I will take some shots here and there just to kind of mess around, especially late in the season. So maybe I'll sprinkle that in here, but here we go. Week 11, 158.76 points versus Adam Levitan here at 114.66. I did notice a lot of scores generally around that 125-ish. So it looks like Adam really had a rough week himself. But again, you know, even that 120 mark, 125 mark really stood no chance versus me in heads ups. And that's kind of what I noticed. I think I won 94% of my heads ups. And obviously as well as cashing every cash game and tournament with this lineup as well. But Tom Brady was the actual lock. Again, I have my core plays, just core plays for DraftKings at ackarmasports.com. All our articles, charts, everything's for free there. But if you want the core plays, they're on the website as well that you can look into for yourself. So, guys, my core was there. You should have won if you had my core. I know we saw a ton of screenshots. Tom Brady was the stone lock. There's no need to really talk about him. I mean, you know, you're going against a team that has zero interceptions on the year. Tom Brady, you knew he was going to carve them up at least, you know, with like a 75%, 80% completion percentage. I mean, just the numbers were just ridiculous looking into this. And it was just an easy play. He was like 70% owned across the board in cash games, and rightfully so. The fact that 25%. Of people didn't play him in cash games just goes to show you, you know, and you don't really want to pay up for quarterback. I wanted to make that note. Just pause and think about that. I rarely pay up for quarterback. I'm going to say it one last time. I rarely pay up for quarterback, okay? The only reason is it's slate dependent. It's the same thing I talk about when I start our actual long podcast on Friday nights that drop late Friday nights that I said downloaded on iTunes. I'm trying to give us a little bit more shout-outs because we are new on iTunes as well. But generally, you're paying down in quarterbacks. But like I said, it's slate-dependent. This was interesting, and I thought you needed him because there was value elsewhere. So let's come to this motherfucker, Kareem Hunt. I didn't like him to begin with. I didn't like the setup. I was really only on him because, you know, it's the Giants, like, again, I'm talking out loud, just upset at myself here, but their team's collapsing, injuries. It looked like Snacks was going to be out this week, and if you guys really dive into the numbers, according to Pro Football Focus, he's the number one defender in like the last 5 years at stuffing the run. So he was supposed to be out. I saw the news that he was fine on Sunday morning, and I was just like rolling my eyes like, well, I might as well just stick with it now, and that's kind of does tend to work more often than not, I will say. I didn't really want to adjust yet again, but like I said, I did have the Melvin Gordon Chargers combination, and it definitely came back and haunted me a bit. So it is what it is. But regardless, the next player really, I think, won the slate. No question about it, because a lot of players, and again, Adam didn't go this route, but a lot of players, like 47% of players went with the Kareem Hunt and the Chris Thompson route. And most of them obviously had Rex Burkhead, who will come to in the flex, who was just complete, utter chalk. And obviously, we all knew that was going to fail. Excuse me. But I talked about Kamara a lot in the podcast. You know, for $600 in savings, you'd be surprised. That $600 goes a long way in cash games. And there's no way for you to really think that Mark Ingram's a better play or going the route of paying for a Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson scored a touchdown. If you want to sit here and roll your eyes and go, well, he got hurt. I mean, there was only a quarter and a half left. I mean, yeah, theoretically, he could have had, you know, double the amount of points. It still wouldn't have mattered too much. I mean, you don't have the upside when you're looking with the Saints offense. Again, we talked about it in our articles, too, this week. And number one offensive line in the league, you know, the Redskins are just completely beat up. They were down to their third middle linebacker. Their defensive tackles have taken a massive hit. And it just did not matter to me, Ingram versus Kamara. But I said in specific on the podcast that Kamara has a better floor than Ingram. And I'm a cash game player. Just remember that, guys. Kamara has a better floor simply in the amount of receptions. And look what he did again. 6 receptions, a 2-point conversion. The amazing, amazing touchdown reception that, I mean, frankly, is just kind of going overlooked, you know, across the industry. I mean, this guy is an absolute stud. I think he should honestly be priced even a little higher. I thought $7,500 was still a little bit of a discount. It was close. We'll see where we're at next week. I didn't check pricing yet, but he won me the slate. And I told you guys in the podcast I was going that route. And again, he was on our core plays at ACKarmasports.com. And you can see that this just really skewed the lineup. Like, I constantly look for running backs in a home game scenario, especially in Coors Field. You know, Adam's an amazing player. I just am absolutely shocked, and I saw this with a lot of other guys, the fact that people avoided Ingram and Kamara. It's like, you know, you see all this money coming in, you know they're banged up. Like, how do you not play one of them? And I'm not calling out him in specific or anyone else. I'm just saying industry standard. I was pretty surprised at the amount of teams that didn't have one or the other. Kareem Hunt was the one I was scared of, and I almost felt like I had to play him because he was so high-owned. And sometimes it's okay to take bad chalk, even if you assume it's bad chalk, guys. I want to say that again, too. Sometimes it's okay to take bad chalk, even if you assume it's bad chalk, because when somebody's that highly owned, and again, my finger's in the air, in a great spot, which I personally did not agree with, 75%, like, if he theoretically went off, we'd have a different conversation right now, right? We'd be like, well, he was the chalk, blah, 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 he got 30 points, everyone knew it, we're all super smart. Well, that didn't happen, and that's why I generally play an optimal lineup. You know, I'm even, like I said, you can always follow cookie crumb trails each week and become a better player. I'm going to become a better player this week because I'm going to go back to my drawing board as to why I made that pivot when I knew Melvin Gordon and Chargers were the optimal play. I do try to not truly focus on what everyone else is doing, but when somebody's getting that high attention at like 80 percentile and he's a high-owned player, see, the Burkheads of the world I think are a little bit different, but you almost can't fade a guy like that in cash games. You just got to kind of sink or swim with him, and you know, even if he fails like he did, it doesn't affect your overall lineup. Of course, you're not going to win anything major in GPPs. I still cash, but you know, when a guy like that fails, you're not going to have that sexy payday. So next, let's head to Brandon Cooks. Again, I don't know how that Levitan here doesn't have him in, and again, he wasn't as highly owned as I thought. He was about 23% in most major double ups. That may seem like a lot, but on a slate where Sterling Shepard was not involved, you know, we saw that news kind of break Saturday night, late Saturday night, and into Sunday morning. I was not playing Sterling Shepard, in full disclosure. I actually had a chat with the DFS Karma team because we got a couple guys that live in New York. Kind of, I was trying to probe them around to see what news we could get about Shepard because I wanted him to play. And I just didn't really agree with everything that, you know, everybody was portraying about the matchup, so to speak. And I just... didn't think it was optimal. I really thought that Cooks was the play. I talked about why. I wrote about it in my cheat sheet that I dish out on Saturdays. So thanks for all those retweets, guys. I think we got like 45, 50 of them. So I'm going to continue to do it. I mean, I think it helps a lot of people. But Cooks is not generally a cash play. But I talked about it on the podcast. And, you know, Chris Hogan was obviously out again. These linebackers and these safeties are so attackable. And we know Josh McDaniels is one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. He knows how to find these mismatches. And again, I know a lot of it stems from the Bill Belichick olive tree, and rightfully so. He definitely deserves the credit. But McDaniels is known for finding mismatches and attacking. That's why I personally love to play a lot of Patriots when I can, in like even cash game scenarios where I think it's the right guys. Because they look at it like DFS-wise. They want to find the mismatches where some of these other retarded teams don't attack major mismatches. And we scratch our heads saying, why didn't the teams do what we thought they were going to? It's just asinine in some of these teams. But that's for another conversation. So, you know, I talked about how these cornerbacks were too big to keep up with Cooks. And last year alone, he did the same thing. 140 yards last year and two touchdowns. He actually almost had a second touchdown, if you guys are watching that game late. So just the nut spot. I was not afraid. You know, I saw 11 targets come in last week when Hogan was out. Sure, there's, you know, White, you know, Sexy Rexy and Deion Lewis and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, you need that deep down the field threat. And I knew that they were going to attack, and that's what Brady wants to do. There's the secondary has no interceptions all year. It was just a great spot for him. And in my opinion, very optimal. Again, this is a core play that went in our sheet. I'm going to go to another core play real quick. First off, Sexy Rexy. No need to talk about him. I mean, 80 percentile owned in just about every format. Again, I agreed with the play. This is not like the Kareem Hunt. I thought this is a must play at 3,600, I believe, 3,700. He was a stone absolute lock, no-brainer in cash games. And sometimes you just move on. And who cares? He got 7.7 points. You know, a little bit of my fault in some tournaments. I got a little greedy with him. I should have probably diverged elsewhere. But that price was just ridiculous in the amount. I mean, he did have four catches. He just kind of had that fumble early on. And Bill Belichick likes to punish running backs who fumble. Okay, Travis Kelce. Wow, you know, again, this is a heads-up matchup here, and I play a lot of heads-up matchups, and I knew a lot of people were going to go Gronk. You know, Oakland was attackable against tight ends, and, you know, you're playing Rexy, you're playing Gronk. I thought most people were going to play Cooks. I was a little surprised. Again, double ups, 25%. That's kind of heavily owned, but, you know, people are sharp. So he just wasn't as highly owned as I thought. I thought he was going to creep up into the 35 percentile. But when I saw about 24%, I was a little bit shocked. And that's a massive edge, you know, when this guy goes for 29.9 points. But the fact that people didn't play Travis Kelce, I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you not? I mean, the Giants have given up a touchdown in, you know, like a billion yards on the year to tight ends every single week. You know, we saw our lonely man, Celek, you know, go ham on them last week. That image alone was just like, it's a no-brainer. You're not playing Travis Kelce. You talked about it on the podcast. It's just, you lock and load. And you know what? If he breaks his leg on the second play and any trolls want to tweet at me saying, you know, probably should have gone Gronk, you know, if Gronk scores three touchdowns hypothetically, like, you know, you just live and die with those moments, and this was just a no-brainer. I mean, this is the easiest play of the week for me, and I actually tweeted out looking at, shout-out to Ravi, who does a lot of our, like, you know, charts that we do, and again, ackarmasports.com, everything's free, guys, and I do a lot of my, like, Saturday research, you know, my kind of, like, my final thoughts, just based off of everything on the site, and I think a lot of people, I built the site to make it user-friendly, to become a successful DFS player for a reason. You know, I don't like jumping around on 25 sites. I really try to zone in on one thing. And just looking at some of the numbers, it's staggering that Travis Kelce, literally, if you just look in one of Ravi's charts for tight ends for seasonal and versus the last three games, he's like, it's like Hall of Fame numbers. I mean, the guy's averaging 100 yards a game. And I actually retweeted that chart out saying, you just can't avoid it. Like, it's just so consistent. You know, of course he didn't score a touchdown, but, you know, against going that defense, it was the easiest prediction of the whole calendar year. again, I was shocked that he was only like 35% or 30% in double ups. Like, he should have been 60%. He might have been a little more, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Gronk, yeah, it's a good play, but he's just never been a cash game play, in my opinion, almost in his career. So that leaves us with, I'm looking at the sheet right now on a couple openings here. So you guys could have only gone a few ways with this, and we made it pretty easy for you with the core plays, because, you know, with DraftKings you can't give out a full lineup. But like I said, happy to provide a nice core, and you guys can, you know, plug and play and fill in the rest. So let's start with Bruce Ellington. Very cash play. I mean, he was like 18% owned in the Millie Maker. Just goes to show you that the industry itself, you know, are pretty smart. You know, this was an easy play. He was in my orange column, my lock button column on the cheat sheet that I tweet out on Saturdays. For $3,000, coach is talking him up all week. Need to get him involved. We know Patrick Peterson was going to be on DeAndre Hopkins all week. It just set up perfectly. And yeah, Savage sucks, but dude, $3,000, like, you just got to do it. I thought he was going to get 9 points, but the fact that he got 12.8, and like, nine's a lot for a guy that's never pretty much done anything, and he's $3,000, just gives you so much cap space, and it's very rare to get that these days in DraftKings, but it paid off for 4X really nice. Jameson Crowder was another chalky play, I thought, and, you know, again, these should have been kind of easy fill-ins, so to speak, just the way I constructed this lineup, and we knew it was kind of surprising, a good surprising, to kind of see Doxson getting involved. But, you know, it's Coors Field. You know, it's, I didn't go the Chris Thompson route, so I needed like my exposure there regardless. So, you know, I was very happy with this production from Jameson. Like, we talked about it all week, and it was in the articles as well. The only way to really attack the Saints is through the middle of the field. Now, Marshawn Lattimore got hurt this week, so let's hold off on that statement moving forward. But, you know, it's really hard to attack the outsides. Like I said, Doxson had a hell of a game, so shout out to that guy. I mean, we got to start monitoring him a little bit more, I think. But the middle of the field was open, and Crowder's so productive. The guy, like, literally catches everything that comes his way. I was a receiver in high school and college growing up, so I just always have respect for guys that literally just have glue on their hands. Adam Thielen's another one. And I will play these guys more often than not, especially at a reduced price, because at the end of the day, you need receptions. It's really kind of hard to forecast, you know, actual yards itself. I mean, you got to figure when you're getting 4 to 6 catches, he had 7 catches this week, you know, generally that's going to get you 50 yards plus or minus. And, you know, obviously at 4,300, it's just a ludicrous price tag. So that leaves me with the final opening. And you guys know, we're from Cleveland, Ohio. I actually did a Periscope Live from my balcony, essentially, and I'm an Aaron Judge home run away from the Browns Stadium, and we've talked about it all year. The Browns are good. I'll say that with trepidation. They're good, kind of. We're better than people think, and another good fight yesterday. Like, I'm happy for this team. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want them to win out. It's kind of like the Sixers. Just keep trusting the process. Like, the Browns are, they got some players. They're so hurt, though. They have so many guys hurt. Obviously, quarterback issues, but the guy's like 14 years old. But, you know, let's crucify him. We've had no receivers all year. But anyways, Blake Bortles sucks dick. I'm sorry. I watched that whole game. He's terrible. He literally throws passes into defenders' laps, and there was a couple tip passes that I was just like, that's a pick six, and the Browns defender just kind of didn't get there in time, so it literally worked out exactly as I thought. I mean, I think Blake was the one who actually fumbled for the recovery for 2 points. We barely gave up any yards. I mean, Fournette had an okay day, but all he had was a couple long runs, and then just a bunch of shitty, you know, 2.8 yards per carry type runs for the most part, and that's what the Browns do. They'll slow down the game on defense. You can't run on them. Good luck, you know, with Blake Bortles as your quarterback, and I just thought it was a good play for $2,300. At the end of the day, they hit value. I mean, 8 points doesn't look like much considering what the Chargers and everybody else did this week, and ultimately that was the part that I'm kind of kicking myself for in this lineup construction, because like I said, I did have the Chargers and Melvin Gordon instead of Hunt, but you live and learn. I hope this video was helpful. We can all become better players, even myself. I hope to finish the year really strong. I mean, like I said, this has been an amazing year. Hopefully hit something with the GPP, sprinkle those in. And like I said, guys, keep following the process with bankroll management. I can't stress it enough. I just feel like it's the most important thing that I ever really engraved into my stubborn brain, you know, a couple of years back was, you know, if you want to actually build something, just build it the right way. It's like building a house. You know, you got to build the foundation first. I think there's a time and a place for you to have your coming out parties and tournaments. You know, they do happen. I feel like they happen for even me a few times a year, and I'm not a big tournament player. But if you are in love with this DFS industry, like we all are, because you're watching this video and you're still like last man standing with like 2 seconds left in this video, just trust the process. Stick to our blueprint. Our team does a great job helping you out nightly with your bankroll. You should not be betting the same weekly for NFL. I mean, everything changes. You should not be betting the same for NBA daily. Same with baseball and all the other stuff. Everything depends on the slate. That's what's made me successful. I'm really good at evaluating the slate. Stick to our podcast, Periscopes, articles, the DMs. We have 24 customer service on Instagram, Twitter, and all that. I know that sounds funny, but hey, we're here to help, guys. And that's kind of the mantra that we're doing. And we will keep moving onward and wayward until week 12. Stay tuned and have a happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks.